You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
And then before COVID, I auditioned for Hades Now. But I got 2 callbacks. Nothing happened. COVID happened. And then being in Puerto Rico, I received an email that they were looking for someone, they were looking for more people for tour. So after that moment, everything happened through Zoom. So my auditions, even my final callbacks with Anais Mitchell, Rachel Chafkin, Liam Robinson, and everything, everybody from the cast, from the creative team, it was via Zoom, and I was in PR in that studio that I've been dancing for 15 years of my life. So I was like, it was a lot going on. I was really emotional. And after that audition, I was like, whatever happens, I'll be happy and, you know, grateful.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform with clients in over 20 Broadway shows, national tours, clients in London, on the West End, collegiate stages across the country. If you need the help, we're here for you. We are a remote online training program that helps marry fitness and your theatrical career pursuits together. So buildforthestage.com, check it out. Thanks to Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, let's get on to the podcast episode. A special guest, as always, BFTS fam on the road with Hadestown right now. Please welcome to the podcast, Eddie Noel. Thank you so much for that sound effect. I love it.
Yeah, people will know that sound effect, especially in Hadestown. They will know that reference.
What do we stumble upon? Let's get into that. I saw Hadestown when Broadway came back. I don't know when it was, October, November, the months are blurring together. Tell us a little bit about that sound effect in Hadestown. What are you referencing right now?
Oh, it's a thing that in Puerto Rico, every time you go to a party of reggaeton or something like that, they have this sound effect. It's like, meow, 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 meow. So here in Hadestown, suddenly in the curtain call, every time we turn around to the musicians or something, it's like, bam, 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 bam. That's what I do for them on stage.
Oh, so they're always laughing. It's an inside joke between the cast. Got it.
And every time we're celebrating something, they enter to a room, it's like, bam, 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 bam. It's like, yeah, Eddie's here.
Oh, see, I thought I missed something because I was like, I don't remember the party horn in Hadestown.
No. It's super inside.
Hilarious. Well, I'm down in my oh my goodness. Thank you for being on the show. It's a long time coming. I'm so glad to finally chat with you almost in person, more so on our nice little video screen here. But you're currently in Philly right now with the tour. Yeah. But before we get into Hadestown, let's just get to know you just a bit. Where are you originally from, Eddie?
I am from Puerto Rico, specifically from my hometown, Vega Baja, Puerto Rico, the same hometown as Bad Bunny. If you know Bad Bunny, you know he's from Vega Baja, Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Tell us about growing up and when performing became like a passion of yours, or maybe when you started to realize like, oh, this is something I might want to do. Tell us a little bit about that.
Honestly, since I was a kid, starting all the talent shows, like Dancing with Friends, you know, this talent show, okay, let's do this song. She wants to imitate Britney. Okay, let's do the backup dancers. Like and that's how we started. And after that,
Let's zoom in a little bit about your days as a backup dancer for Britney Spears as a child. Is this like watching the music videos over and over and over again until you get all the choreography?
Of course. Remember when we used to do the mix with the cassette and you were waiting for the music video and specifically so you recorded it from MTV or any? So I used to record every single music video, Janet Jackson, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, all those songs, Backstreet Boys. So we used to imitate all those artists. So we used to go to different talent shows. One of the biggest I remember that we did was Moulin Rouge, and we did this whole production with the heart and everything. We went all over Puerto Rico doing different talent shows, and that's how I started falling in love with performing. Then I joined a band playing the trombone for 3 years, so that helped me a lot, you know, with the music, reading and stuff. Then after that, I joined the folkloric dance company called Jíbaro de Puerto Rico. That is a dance company that promotes folklore and culture of our Puerto Rico. So with that company, I was there for 15 years of my life, basically. And we travel a lot, different places, Mexico, Greece, Turkey, representing our island, showing our folklore. So that's why I'm very attached to our music, our culture. And it's so rich that every time I go somewhere, I flag Puerto Rico.
So besides Bad Bunny, what's an artist that you could reference to our listeners to be like, hey, if you want to get the real deal of my hometown culture, this is what you have to listen to. Do you have any artists in your mind?
I mean, in the spot. I mean,
No.
It's okay. I mean, I know reggaeton is a big thing from Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of people from like the important reggaetoneros like Daddy Yankee, Don Omar, Bad Bunny. Even though I listen to it, reggaeton is not my favorite type of music, you know, but I love when they do match up with a lot of Latin rhythms, or they combine rhythms with another countries. So I'm into that. And I think right now, I mean, Bad Bunny has been moving a lot, especially for this new generation. Ricky Martin, everybody knows Ricky Martin. So it's another thing. It's just like going deep down to someone that maybe they don't know. I don't know. Nobody pops in my head right now.
Okay, so I have a long work day today with programming. I'm going to be listening to Ricky Martin all day because of you. I can't wait.
I remember Calle 13. I mean, he doesn't sing in English specifically, but Calle 13, if you know him, I love his music. He inspired me a lot. He's been connecting with a lot of other cultures. There's a documentary of him in Netflix that hit one of his latest album. He did the DNA test, and depending on that DNA test, he went to different countries from he is from by that DNA, and he grabbed music from different parts of those countries, and he made that album with those rhythms, those music, those sounds. It is gorgeous. I'll send you the link. It's Calle 13. It's his name.
Yeah. Calle 13. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so thanks for that. Going off of that bunny trail, you're no stranger to touring then. You just said, 15 years with the trombone and the band?
I mean, 15 years with the folkloric dance company called Jíbaro de Puerto Rico. So with them, most of the time we were in Puerto Rico performing, but every year we used to go to different places. We went to Spain a lot. So
make the transition into musical theater from that?
Well, the company, not only Dancing Folklore, they used to do a lot of original musicals, original plays. So that's where I started. I mean, I started dancing, and then suddenly, okay, you have to do this character right now. So then acting. And then the musical director one time, they were looking for someone to sing. And I was like, okay, let's try it out. So I started basically doing everything with that company that we used to do everything. So I convert myself a triple threat. Thank you to that company.
I'm curious, did you also go to some type of place for training for singing, acting, dancing, or is it truly just boots on the ground? You were learning as you were actually, you know, in the midst of performing and being with this company.
Yeah, I kind of started just with the company, but before that company, I used to start dancing jazz, hip hop, and stuff in another dance academy close to Vega Baja, close to my hometown. Then when I moved to that company, basically every time we needed something specifically, we take the class and we perform what we needed for that show. when I started singing, then I decided to get some classes, but it was more like one-on-one thing, And then when I went to college, I studied telecommunications, but my minor was in theater. I was already working in theater,
cool.
professional theater in Puerto Rico. But I decided just, you know, let me get what I need to get. But I was already working. I was in the business already. So I finished that minor. And I remember when I was finishing my my degree, they did Rent in Puerto Rico, a version of Rent. And that was my first musical, musical show besides the company that I used to dance and perform. And that's when I started covering Roger and going into the business of how to be an understudy, how to, you know, connect with other people and perform. And another thing that is not just folkloric, connected to folklore.
Yeah.
So then that was Rent. And then one of the shows, one time when we went with the company, we went to Madrid, to Spain. And I remember that I saw Mamma Mia. Basically, it's the same Broadway show, but in Spanish. And that was the moment when I saw that show specifically that I was like, I want to do this. It feels good. It looks amazing. And I fell in love with musical theater after I saw Mamma Mia in Madrid. And then I got obsessed. Then when I went to New York, you know, In the Heights, Lion King, all those shows, I was a, you know, musical theater freak. And every time I was had an opportunity to go to New York, I try to catch a show.
I'm curious, do you ever kind of look into musicals that are American based and have either albums in English or maybe you've seen it live, but then you've also seen that same show done in wherever, Puerto Rico, Spain, and it's in Spanish. How well does it usually convert? How good of a job do you think they do, you know, when making the lyrics work and the songs and so on and so forth?
So it's very interesting. So in Puerto Rico, there's some productions. I don't remember the name of that production specifically, but I remember that basically the music was original score in English, but then the dialogue was in Spanish. So it was kind of tricky.
They would be speaking their lines in Spanish, but then when they would go to sing, they'd sing in English?
It was in English, yeah. I don't remember which
one.
I want to say a name of a production, but it happened. In my case, I did Godspell, and we did it in Spanish, and it was a good conversion or transition or translation. It was a really good one. But they did Legally Blonde, they did Mary Poppins. Oh, Mary Poppins was in Spanish too, but Mary Poppins in Spanish from Disney, they already have a translation, like approval. But there's some other productions that in Puerto Rico maybe they find someone to convert the show in Spanish. Most of the time works. You know, if you're not that picky and you're like obsessed with just one version of it, you will enjoy it. But if you go in with the mindset of like, oh, I cannot. At the moment, with Godspell that I had that experience and La Cage, we did La Cage in Spanish too. And it worked. You know, the metric works. As long as the metric is okay and good, everything will work.
All right, cool. Yeah. So you see Mamma Mia in Spain, you start to fall in love and say, hey, I kind of want to do this. What happens next? Do you come to the States? Do you start doing it in Puerto Rico? Where do you start performing a lot in musical theater?
In Puerto Rico, I already, after I did Rent, then everything started like back to back, a lot of shows in Puerto Rico, not only original stuff. But then Rent, then Godspell, then La Cage, everything happened like very back to back. But the situation in Puerto Rico too is like, it's not that you rehearse a show and then you do it for a year. No, basically you rehearse a show probably maybe 2 months, sometimes even 3 months, and you just do only 9 shows. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a rush thing. And sometimes you are like rehearsing this and you have to do your main job during the day. And then at night you have to rehearse. And then the next day, and just at the end, when you finish those 9 shows is when you feel that you're very comfortable with the character and then everything is done. Unless you're lucky enough that the producer decides to, you know, bring it back. So that's the situation in Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico, sometimes you're rehearsing 2 shows at the same time to be, you know, on the game. But lately, of course, musical theater has been going up in so many ways that right now, I think On Your Feet is going to happen in Puerto Rico, I think in September. They're going to do it in PR. And yeah, a lot of stuff in the Heights happened recently in Puerto Rico too, and it was a big event.
It had to have been.
All Puerto Rican cast. It was really fun.
Cool. Very cool. All right. So we fast forward. You're in New York City. You're living the dream, if you will. You're pounding the pavement. Talk us through this process of booking the tour for Hadestown in these like very trying times of the pandemic, mm-hmm. and how it was navigating around that, and your experience now with the tour. How's it been? It hasn't been too long since y'all have been out on the road since theater's gotten back up. Tell us a little bit about the experience of getting the show and then now that you're in it.
I'm actually going to go a little bit more back of that because my journey in New York actually started after Hurricane Maria. When that happened in 2017, Hurricane Maria actually is kind of like the main reason that I needed to move and keep working and pursue my dream. It wasn't my plans to be in New York, but in 2017, when Hurricane Maria happened and everything was canceled, of course, theater wasn't a priority in that moment. You know, priority was food, priority was gas and everything. So, but I needed to, you know, keep up my thing. So I decided to move in October 2017, and I was working at a retail store in New York. Then I auditioned for the second time for Iron Feet, and then they booked me. And being in New York for 5 months, then I booked the national tour of Iron Feet. So I did that. I was on the road for a year and a half. Then after that, I was in New York, you know, trying to make it happen. Then COVID happened. So then when COVID happened, I decided to go back to Puerto Rico. While I was in Puerto Rico, I actually did some workshops. Musical theater workshops for original musicals. So that was really fun. And then before COVID, I auditioned for Hadestown. But I got 2 callbacks. Nothing happened. COVID happened. And then being in Puerto Rico, I received an email that they were looking for someone, they were looking for more people for tour. So after that moment, everything happened through Zoom. So my auditions, even my final callbacks with Anais Mitchell, Rachel Chafkin, Liam Robinson, and everything, everybody from the cast, from the creative team, it was via Zoom, and I was in PR in that studio that I've been dancing for 15 years of my life. So I was like, it was a lot going on. I was really emotional. And after that audition, I was like, whatever happens, I'll be happy and, you know, grateful. And yeah, after that audition,
that's so special that you. Sorry to cut you off there. That's so special that in your, you know, hometown growing up studio, that's where, you know, you're cutting your teeth on those auditions and where you ultimately booked the role. That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And especially in that place, and that space that I was auditioning, it meant a lot for me. And even though sometimes you get in your head a lot about the situation, of course, it's not a Latin show, but it's a very diverse show. And I was like, as a Latino, how can I fit in the show? You have all that stuff going on. And I love that they appreciate that. And they've been more like, you know, diverse in general. If you see our cast and even on Broadway, it's part of the main thing about the show. Everybody can relate with everybody, and it's amazing. And being part of this right now, it's just a blessing. After that year and a half being in Puerto Rico with the COVID situation, and we're still in the COVID situation, but, you know, like, thinking about what's going to happen next, or like, should I quit the business because you never know what's going to happen with this business after COVID. And we were very affected about, you know, not only Broadway community, but the entertainment industry in general, because in Puerto Rico of the restrictions, like the restrictions in Puerto Rico were longer than even Broadway in New York. So if you wanted to perform in a theater in Puerto Rico, it was going to be harder. So it was going to be, then how we do this? So booking this, it was a blessing. And now being on the road until probably next year working, every day I practice gratefulness. You need to be grateful. Yeah. You know, even in harder moments, you just need to be grateful, do your yoga, do your routine, go to the gym, and like try to keep yourself in a safe place of gratefulness every time. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Now that you're on the tour, and especially when we had that Omicron surge, what tell us some stories about coverage, or just like when you all maybe were sitting down as a company before a show and saying, how are we going to make this work today? You know, do you have any stories like that?
Actually, in our case, there was a moment that it was going to be like a chaotic moment of like maybe split tracks or stuff, because suddenly everybody got COVID. In my case, I actually got COVID in our first week of tech rehearsals. So, and I was in New York. So we finished rehearsals, and the last day of rehearsals in New York, I tested positive. So everybody went to Schenectady to do the tech rehearsals, and I was the only one in New York for a week and a half. And I was like, it happened to me. But you know what? It happened in that moment. But what happened recently was we were in Houston, and like 9 people from the cast, you know, tested positive. So they decided to cancel. So for 2 weeks, we were stuck in Houston. We were supposed to go to Austin, so that didn't happen. And then after being in Houston, we went to Dallas. So in Dallas, we started again. But there's some people that were tested positive like at the end of those two weeks before. So we have some subs, we have some understudy stuff going on, but it has been good at the moment, you know? So let's keep it that way. Okay. And because most of the people already have it, so we have the antibodies. So hopefully we will not have a shutdown again.
Do your castmates ever give you a hard time that you got to skip out on some of those long tech rehearsals?
Oh, say that again. I'm sorry.
Do your castmates ever give you a hard time for, you know, when you got COVID during tech, do they ever, you know, joke with you that you didn't have to stand there waiting for the lights and sound and set change? You know, you got to skip out on that painful moment sometimes.
I mean, this is the thing. As a swing, in that moment, like if let's be honest, like it's not missing a tech rehearsal it wasn't that bad in my case, because as a swing, I was just gonna be in the seat audience, like just watching, because
sure.
So I was talking with all the swings, and they were like, "You're good, you're good." I was like, "Okay, thank you."
You're just missing them saying, could you just move one step left on stage left 6? We need you to step back for your special there. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Okay. Moving on.
And it's a moment that the show is still like changing a lot of stuff. And as a swing, like in my case, I like to learn what is like the official thing, but it was nice to be part of the process of the creation of why this, instead of like the reason on Broadway is like this. So that's why I always say, like, people, if you've seen the show on Broadway, you have to come see the tour, because there's a lot of differences that is very interesting about the blocking, about even the interpretations of the characters. You know, it's you got the base of it, but it's very different vocally. It's amazing. Yeah, a lot of people have been watching the show from Broadway, and they come to see the show, and they were like, "Oh, this is completely different, and I love it." It's like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, the words on the page are always the same, but it's the people that are up there that really make it come to life, and it's always, you know, to each its own from cast to cast, for sure.
Yeah.
Two more questions. Sure. Let's do one question that you could answer to help out some of our listeners out there that either are currently swinging a show, they're maybe in the future they will. What's like one little tip or trick that you like to practice as a swing that has really helped you out?
I've been, of course, the first few months, you're always getting a lot of information and you have to be on your game. In my case, I cover 5 I covered six tracks, The Five Workers and Hermes. That is one of the principals. So I've been on already for three of them, three more to come. but it's always when you listen to the show every night, just pick one track and just go with the flow, all of the show with that track, vocally, blocking wise. Always try to do that and have maybe one day that you know you're not going to be on, just to chill and relax and try to maybe be productive and other stuff. But then other days, at least schedule yourself. Like, this day I'm going to go with track three. This day I'm going to go for track four. And that's been helping me a lot in this journey, especially now that I already got that information in my head. It's just to how to divide it in case I have an emergency. I have to go on stage in an emergency. I don't need to go to my notes. So, you know, I already have, okay, I'm worker three and let's go. And that's the hardest part for me. It's the first time being a swing. So I kind of started kind of like create a system to understand all this process. So at the beginning, it was a little, it was hard for me. I'm not going to lie. It was hard, but I try not to get in that uncomfortable zone of, you know, being like, what am I doing? Like, no, there's a reason why I'm here. So you have to figure it out. So having that, I got my notes, cards, colors, and there's no like a book that tells you how to be the perfect swing. You have to figure it out. And
I love that. I think that mindset you just shared is maybe the most valuable advice. It's just that, hey, it's going to be difficult. You're going to feel like you're lost at times, but you just have to be confident in your abilities that, you know, you're going to come through at the end of the day for sure.
Just like a workout, when you feel that you cannot do anything, one more round, you just have to know there's a reason why I'm here and I'm doing this. So let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Last question. Whether you know this person or it's just someone that you've looked up to from afar, who has had some influence on you during your career, and what type of insight or just helpful advice that you might have gotten from them along the way, whether, again, it was in person or just something you heard them say or you read at one point, just to give our listeners just a bit more, you know, inspiration.
Inspiration. You know what? There's one actor in Puerto Rico that he's I'm sorry?
No, yeah. Go ahead. That's great. Go ahead.
Okay, there's some problem with the connection. There's an actor in Puerto Rico called René Monclova. I used to work with him a lot, and he's very well known in PR. He's an amazing actor. And he one time told me, we were in the show, and he told me, it's like, it's always very important to treat everybody, no matter if it is the director, the main character, the principal, even the security guy, when you enter to the room, like, you have to treat everybody the way that you would like to be treated. And people will respect you because they know you respect them. Mm. And that for me is just like, if I enter to a parking lot or whatever, it's always wave, always say hi or ask, how are you? You know, those kind of stuff, those little details change a lot of the energy in general. And I'm a person that I believe in. I'm about energy. And I remember I was maybe like 20 or something like that. And he told me that. And he was like, damn, thank you very much. And he was like, with all the makeup as an old man and whatever. And it was like, this is perfect right now. So that always stuck in my head. And I admire him a lot.
Yeah. When you're talking about energy. Okay, there you go. When you're talking about energy, it's so true that, you know, if not just you are practicing that habit, but your entire cast, your entire company, you all treating each other with that mutual respect will not only just create a good work environment, but it inevitably will heighten the performance of your show, the quality of your show as well. So
exactly.
I love that.
Most of the time that happened backstage reflects on stage. So that's why it's very important to keep that harmony all the time. Even if we got hard moments, just to shake it up. And when you go on stage, you just forget about everything else. So I try to keep it that way.
Cool. All right, Eddie, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Amazing chat with you. I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right, everyone, that was Eddie Noel. You can check out Eddie on his Instagram. His handle is in the description of our episode caption here. And yeah, if you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. This is Joe Roscoe with Built for the Stage. We'll catch you on the next one. Later.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.